Please be seated. First of all, I just would like to say what a joy it is to be worshiping with you all today, and I appreciate the invitation to come and preach. For those of you who haven't encountered me yet this morning, my name is Susie Holding. I'm a priest in the Diocese of Chicago, but I primarily serve at your Episcopal Seminary here in Chicago, Bexley Seabury Seminary, and I oversee one of our degree programs there. If you have any questions about any lifelong theological education or any of the programs that we do, we're moving to doing some more things online, some hybrid courses, just let me know, and I would be glad to talk to you about that. So much for my plug for Bexley Seabury. Now on to the things that we gathered here today to think about and ponder. So earlier this week, I received an email from one of my students, and it was in regards to an assignment for next term, and so I kind of went through that, and then he signed off the email with these words: "Hope Advent has begun hopefully." Or is it supposed to be penitentially? Or both? Good questions. The sense of Advent as a penitential season has been a long tradition in the Christian church. For some time, the season of Advent was, and still is by some, considered to be a mini-Lent, a time of fasting, introspection, and prayer, a time to focus on our own sinfulness and need for grace, time to anticipate Christ's coming again in judgment, to repent, to be ready by living righteously because you do not know when the Master may come. That theme certainly emphasized in the reading from Matthew that we just heard. And yet, in my experience of Advent over the years, I have come to feel that this is putting the emphasis on the wrong syllable, if you will, and misses the rich distinction of this unique season that provides opportunities for us to grow deeper in our faith and life in Christ. This season that comes at the darkest time of year, when the lighting of candles reminds us that the light shines in the darkness, and we are drawn into the mystery of the incarnation, God becoming flesh and dwelling among us, and the ongoing work of God renewing and healing in the world to bring it to the fruition, the culmination of God's vision for creation. I have colleagues in other Christian denominations that celebrate the season of Advent by naming a particular theme for each of the Sundays: hope, peace, joy, and love. Kind of wonderful themes for us to weave as we begin thinking about our own Advent time and preparation. As we move away from the sense of the penitential to something more. More and more churches are switching to blue vestments, much as you all have, instead of the penitential purple that we generally find in Lent. And this custom of blue vestments isn't some new crazy fad. It goes back to the Middle Ages, to Scandinavia, and even parts of England. And in many cultures, blue symbolizes hope. It helps to focus our Advent meditations on a hopeful season of preparation that anticipates both the first coming of Christ and the consummation of history, the realization of God's dream in the second coming of Christ. Advent is about waiting and watching. And I find it interesting that in the Spanish language, the word for wait is esperanza. The word for hope in Spanish is esperanza. The same word, to wait, to hope. Because there's something implicit in waiting that is expectant, that brings a hope with it. I had a conversation earlier this week with a woman that I was just getting to know, and we'd had some conversation about these Advent themes and the theme of hope. And then she began telling me about her deepest grief, the loss of her baby boy just a year ago. As we talked, and she was telling me of all the stresses in her life right now and the discernment that she's doing around vocation, I urged her to just slow down, to be busy, or to be gentle on herself, to not get caught up in all the busyness of the season. And before I knew what I was saying, I said, take an Advent. Kind of like you might say, take two aspirin and call me in the morning. And I, didn't mean to say it flippantly or anything, but we had been so grounded in a conversation of hope and so thoughtful around this particular season, and to hold in that sense of hope, her grief, loss, and suffering, but always the promise that God made known to us through Jesus Christ. Take an Advent. Kind of a worthwhile prescription, I think, for these days. Not insensitive, not a Pollyannish, excessively or unrealistically optimistic, all will be well kind of hope, but a hope rooted and grounded in our faith. An opportunity to recognize the gift of this season, a gift that is lost in the sense, if we dwell in the sense of penitence, and lose sight of the spirit of possibility. These days, as I read the culture, it is pretty easy to be a person where the glass is half full, or perhaps even empty. Regardless of who you may have voted for or didn't vote at all in the past election, we have emerged as a nation from a polarizing and rather ugly presidential campaign. And the election has catapulted us into a new reality, a reality in which many fear what is to come. Vulnerable populations are scared. People feel threatened because of their race, ethnicity, sexuality, gender, or gender identity. Incidents of hate crimes have increased since the election. We still live with the plague of gun violence in our cities. Economic woes and hardships have seemed to disenfranchise and dispossess and marginalize a number of people in the working classes through globalization. The poor seem to get poorer while the rich get richer. Our climate is changing. We fear the erosion of hard-won rights. Some of us may be alarmed by the sense of nationalism and xenophobia on the rise in certain countries in Europe, Austria, France, Italy, and Great Britain. The list goes on. Kind of not hard to feel a little bit of despair. Anybody feeling despair out there listening to all this? I know I do. But yet we are in the season of Advent, a season of hope and possibility, hope grounded in the knowledge and the belief that God sent Jesus to us out of love, and Jesus will come again in great glory to bring all of God's desire for this world into culmination and fulfillment. That's the Christian hope. Christian hope is defined in our prayer book as to live with confidence, confidence in newness and fullness of life, and to await the coming of Christ in glory and the completion of God's purpose in the world. Some of you may recall that the ancient symbol for hope is an anchor, a ship's anchor, which holds a ship firm and steady, that it can keep its place in the midst of either still or turbulent seas, in the midst of whatever chaos may be going on around it, as the winds may change, the anchor keeps that ship stable. And hope is an anchor for us in our Christian faith. One of the primary Christian virtues, the other two being faith and love. So as a practice of Advent, if we live into this season of hope and possibility, how can we strengthen? What practices might we use to strengthen our own hope, the hope that is within us? Spending time with Advent devotionals, meditations on Scripture, pausing wherever we are for prayer and silence in the midst of holiday bustle. At the adult forum today, we were talking about sacred spaces, I think came to some consensus around the idea that although we find ourselves in a very sacred space here, wherever we go out into the world, we can encounter God, we can be in prayer, and that space and time in and of itself becomes sacred. We can rest in the confidence that God is at work in the world in ways that we cannot even see or imagine, except in those little moments, if we're particularly attentive, when the light breaks in and our hope is renewed. Each day, finding those moments of hope and having them feed us and strengthen us in our own hope. Working towards God's vision, God's dream for the world, so beautifully expressed in the passage from Isaiah. The vision of peace and harmony of all of God's creation within God's creation. Hope is not passive. Hope is a sign of active resistance. Resistance to the powers in this world that would seek to destroy the people of God through systems of injustice, through all the isms of this world that belittle and beleaguer and diminish the people of this world, God's children in this world. Hope is active resistance when we remember that God's love is for each and every one of us. A love that was a catalyst for the first coming, a love that remains until and through the second coming. As Christians, we are challenged to be people of hope, and our hope is in that vision, that dream of God, the deep, persistent human hope for justice and peace. Our hope is in the one who has come and will come again to establish peace on earth and goodwill to all. Our hope is in ourselves and each other as we allow our lives to be transformed by the assurance of God's love for us. God's vision captures our hope and imagination, and our belief in his Son inspires us to actively participate in God's vision by being a word of hope in this world, by being a prophet of hope in this world. We do this every day by the choices we make. To act from places of goodwill, seeking and serving Christ in one another and in every stranger we meet. As we strive for justice and peace and respect the dignity of every human being, it is then that we will begin to see glimpses of the wolf lying down with the lamb, a vision of God's kingdom drawing near. Some of you may be familiar with the writings of Diana Butler Bass. Anybody? Show of hands, nods. Diana Butler Bass is a Christian historian, a very prolific writer, comes out of progressive Christianity, and writes on the state of Christianity in these days in the early 21st century. She's a well-known speaker around the country and internationally. And she has a good eye on what's happening in American religion and culture. So she was on a speaking engagement this week, and she was in Florida, staying at a very nice hotel, and having breakfast. And while she was at breakfast, she heard a boisterous group of white men at a table nearby. And she heard all that they were talking about, and with their gusto about the particular climate of the day and how it may, you know, suit their own agendas and aspirations. But what she heard even more than that was their unfiltered racist comments. Now, these four men were being served by an African-American woman, a young woman in her late 20s. And as she would come to their table, these men did not stop saying the kinds of things that they were saying. But she, you know, continued to wait on them, doing her job with thoroughness and kindness. It was as if she were invisible as the way the men kept talking. And Diana could see, as the waitress continued to go to, you know, take them what they needed, get their order and all that kind of, that the closer she got to the table, she would almost kind of recoil. But she did her job and waited on them and served them. When the waitress came to Diana's table, Diana felt compelled to engage in a conversation with the young woman, a conversation of friendship, and wanted to assure her that in these days, not all whites are like that, and that she was sorry for the way that they behaved. The young woman, very wise young woman, said, "You know, one day all this hate will finally die out. It doesn't bring life. It cannot survive the long term." She went on to say, "I have hope. Hate has no life on its own. It will die." Those words reminded me of a Haitian proverb. Our family has had some connection with Haiti over the past several years. And the Haitian people have certainly known tragedy and despair over the years. But the Haitian proverb is Haiti lepsva, which means hope gives life. In this season of Advent, we remember that hope gives life. So now, my friends, may the God of all hope fill us with joy and peace and believing, so that we may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit and be a word of hope in a hurting and broken world that longs to hear it. Amen.